Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1555, air date May 28th, 2025.
If you tell the truth and you're not sucking Zionist cock on either side, you are uncontrollable, so you must be shadow banned.
News, current affairs, facts and opinion, their future. In our hands. Markets. Globalist technocrats versus the people. A line in the sand. The McIntyre Report.
And welcome, folks. Jeremy McIntyre here on behalf of Australian National View, ANR.news for our 24-hour news headlines. It's great to be back in the studio. I've just been in China, amongst other places, investigating the trade war that Trump's escalated with China. And today's episode, we're very excited to have the inventor of email. Can you believe that? Email was invented by someone and changed the world. And we're about to hear from him, not just about that, but more importantly, why is it many entrepreneurs, even tech entrepreneurs of all backgrounds, some of them are deciding to speak up? People in society that could just stay quiet, could live a life of luxury, but choose to risk a lot by voicing their opinion, especially these days. If you speak up and criticize a certain, you know, foreign entity, foreign nation, a fake state created in 1948 in particular, then you can be censored, canceled. All sorts of problems happen, not just for business. We've seen that happen with myself and many others. We see Russell Brand right now being tarnished and targeted because he didn't stick to the globalist narrative. So let's hear from the inventor of email, also a presidential nominee, ran in the last president, Dr. Shiva. Dr. Shiva, it's great to have you on the McIntyre Report. Quite a story you have. Inventor of email, that must be almost, what, 40 years ago? You must have been a teenager.
Yeah, so what's important to understand, Jamie, even though I went to MIT, which is the number one technology university in the world, which is frankly part of the military industrial complex, the invention of email actually took place outside of that, before that, when I was 14 in a small medical college in one of the poorest cities in the United States, Newark, New Jersey. And I did it when I was 14. And the facts are black and white on this, meaning some people over the age of 40, 50 may remember that there used to be this mail system that ran organizations. It was a paper-based mail system called the Interoffice Mail System. And the secretaries in every office were sort of the, heads of that mail system. You know, they had an inbox, an outbox, folders. They had an address book. The memo was a medium of message. There was a carbon copy, blind carbon copy, hundreds of different features. It was an interconnected system of parts. And I converted that system as a 14-year-old kid. By the way, I was working that medical school because I was very interested in medicine. Believe it or not, I was doing medical research, some early beginnings of AI to apply computing techniques to understand why babies were dying in their sleep. And because I was good at programming, I was given this assignment to convert the entire interoffice mail system, a complex system with the electronic version. I did that in 50,000 lines of Fortran code, named it email, a term that was never used before in the English language, and got the first United States copyright at a time when that was the only way to protect software inventions. All of that, Jamie, was done before I came to MIT, okay? And when I came to MIT, I was very interested in medicine. I went in and out, did a bunch of degrees, four different degrees. My PhD is in a field called biological engineering. And then it was in 2011 when the technical senior editor of Time Magazine did an article. Because my mother, when she passed away, this is 33 years later after the invention of email in 1978, she had left all of the artifacts in a suitcase. And he said, wow, you invented email. He wrote an article and then it went into the Smithsonian. That was in 2012. And it created a very interesting fabricated controversy because people couldn't believe that email was created by a kid in Newark, New Jersey before MIT. But the facts are black and white. You may remember this organization called Gawker Media, which attacked me viciously for even bringing this news out. And we eventually sued them and we won a major lawsuit. But the facts are, yes, a 14-year-old kid invented email. I did it before I came to MIT. And it's a great story because it shows that innovation can occur outside the bastions of big universities, big corporations, and big military. And that's what the invention of email is truly about. It's about the fact that innovation can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. By the way, it was a 14-year-old kid who invented TV, Philo Farnsworth, on a small farm. So it shows the ingredients for innovation aren't big corporations or big military or the motivation of war. It's actually the motivation to solve problems. In fact, I created email to solve a civilian problem. Women were using the typewriter, and the goal was to put them into the keyboard. But the brainwashing that's been done by the academic elites, by the military elites, is to convince people that innovation itself comes from war. And therefore, we should be so happy we conduct war because the side effects are some, you know, Tang or some Velcro, which, by the way, didn't also come out of the military. So it's a big fucking brainwashing. I don't know if I can say those words. That's done in a deliberate way. And the problem they have with the invention of email, I'm still alive and they can't rewrite the story. This really bugs them. And that's the fact. And it's really interesting. I was doing this thing with, I think, ChatGPT. I said, who invented email? They said, this guy Ray Tomlinson did. But there's some controversy whether Shiva Adire did. And I said, wait a minute. I said, Ray Tomlinson did not invent email by his own admission. He simply did simple text messaging. And it said, yeah, you're absolutely right. When you look at the fact you did, Shiva Adire did invent email, Ray Tomlinson did. So you can also learn how the AI and all these things are not really truth. They're just a function of what training data is fed to them. So anyway, but the facts are, yes, I invented email. The email as we know it today, it's not simple text messaging, it's a whole system. But I went on to MIT to invent many other things, you know, Cytosolve, System Cell, a whole bunch of other inventions. In fact, I have the three earliest patents in the world on AI for automatic text analysis and response. But my big real interest has not just been medicine or technology, but actually politics, because I grew up in a caste system in India. And so that motivated me to really understand politics.
And, well, that's tough what I talked to you about, because fascinating story. Obviously, a teenager invented email, and then, you know, MIT and further inventions. Then how the hell did you go from there to, you know, you ran in the last U.S. presidential election? I mean, how did that happen? You know, what drove the interest of?
So I think it's a great question. Look, when I grew up, you know, I was born in India. According to some people, I'm not supposed to even run for president because president is only reserved for people who are natural born, which is, by the way, never defined. So I challenged that also. But, you know, I grew up in India, came to the United States when I was 7, but I grew up in a caste system in India. Most of the Indians people will meet in the United States are Brahmins from the upper caste. You know, India has a caste system, which is a political ideology, which has nothing to do with the religion, which was created. It's a system, a political ideology, no different than Nazism or Zionism. Zionism is equal to Brahminism, is equal to Nazism in the sense that a political ideology with religious, you know, elements of it is put in to emotionally induce people to think that a small set of people should rule over everyone else. Zionism says that the chosen people nonsense, the Aryan race nonsense, and the Brahmanical caste system nonsense. So anyway, so as a child, I experienced this. It was quite hurtful, and I was very, very motivated, even as a 4 or 5-year-old kid, to understand why is there injustice in the world. That led me to start studying, even as a child, political books. And when I was growing up in India, there were these little comic books, believe it or not, and they would be histories of different people, you know, Lenin or Che Guevara or, you know, Thomas Paine. It was quite fascinating. So I read every revolutionary leader I could get a hold of because I really want to understand how to fight. And so that took me to a journey, on the one hand, it's science and technology, but always being an activist. In fact, when I was at MIT in 1984, there's a picture of me burning the South African flag on the steps of MIT, organizing students to fight for food service workers' rights, making sure, you know, more people of all backgrounds could come to a place like MIT. So I've always been fighting. And my politics really became much more, from an activist standpoint, much more sophisticated in sort of the late 80s when I realized that you had, in any country, you had the establishment wings of the party, the left and the right, and the United States Democrats and Republicans. But I realized that there were also the wings of these parties. So the Democrats had their Democrat wing, right? The radical left, or the Republicans had their radical right wing. And I realized those wings exist to keep this bird flying, because they would yap stuff just to get, you know, put some populist messaging out there. No intention of ever executing on any of it, but just to get people riled up to think that this bird was relevant to the broad mass of people. In the United States, a guy called Jesse Jackson, a black guy, runs as a on the left wing of the Democrats, getting students all excited. It's 1984 that he's going to fight the establishment. But at the end, he corrals all this energy of young people and he gives all the votes to the establishment Democrat, Walter Mondale, under the, you know, the motto of lesser of evils. And we've seen this recurrent process. So that's when I realized that the establishment has the obvious establishment and then the not so obvious. And once you realize that, you realize that you have to start studying how change actually took place. And real change has always taken place bottoms up, independent mass movements, independent of the establishment, left or right, or the wings. And when you become truly independent, as I say, you get off the plantation, that's when you become dangerous, because you want to organize working people. I'm talking about true working people, not the bogus working people that the left talks about, which are really the lumpen proletariats. You see, I'm talking about actual people work for a living. So that really honed my politics, and it hasn't really changed much. So, but I always also knew that electoral politics, so the establishment typically manipulates people when you sort of come to some awakening that things are fucked up in the world. How do you want to change it? So they give you really two options. They'll say, hey, Jamie, run for politics, right? Electoral process, or become a lawyer. So they corral people into these two very controlled systems. Doesn't mean you can't participate in those, but you can if you build a bottoms-up movement. So in 2016, I ran for office against a woman called Elizabeth Warren, who claimed that she was Native American. I don't know if you remember this. My slogan was only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. And it was really about her integrity. We forced her to take the DNA test and it proved she was a Native American, but she used her Native American stature to get into places like Harvard, you see? And then we ran in 2020 as a Republican. And that is when the Republicans stole the election from me. We were the ones who showed that the voting machines have a feature on there where you can flip votes, a weighted race feature. And my exposing that then led into being deplatformed on Twitter. And I was the one who discovered that there's a backdoor portal in my very, very historic lawsuit between the government and social media companies. And by the way, people like Glenn Greenwald and Tucker Carlson, when we were the first to expose it, stay silent. Why? Because either of envy that I was the first to expose it, or B, we're not part of their establishment. You see, they don't want independent movements, Jamie. So 2020 was great because it was
on that, Dr. Shiver. I imagine that would have been Tucker Carlson was probably with Fox News then, which is obviously a Murdoch-run organization, and Murdoch is a Zionist. So I imagine Tucker wasn't able to do much, or
Well, it's an interesting story because
And then they lost 800 million. They got sued. I can't understand how Fox News managed to lose that.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you really study it, here's the background of Tucker Carlson. Okay, we shouldn't give him that much credit because he's talking about 9/11 now. Okay. Tucker Carlson comes from a CIA family.
Yeah.
He's part of, and so one of the things that emerges, Jamie, we were talking about earlier, is Alan McDonald, I don't know if you remember him, he was the chief engineer on the space shuttle launch in 1986. Remember Challenger when it blew up? Yeah. And great guy, you know, he just died about a couple of years ago. And when he died, he said, you know, the most important thing in life is to tell the truth at the right time. Very important. Mm. Not if you tell the truth, when you tell the truth, right? So you could see someone, imagine somebody seeing a woman getting raped, and there's two journalists, one journalist, a local journalist, write the story, and the big journalist keeps quiet, waits until 5 years and writes a book or a movie, right?
Yeah.
This is very opportunist shit, okay? So in 2020, when I was exposing the fact, you know, people can go to winbackfreedom.com, it's all documented. We exposed in cross-examination. I did my own lawsuit against Twitter, and we found out that the government has a backdoor portal into Twitter. It went viral all over the world. But Glenn Greenwald, and as I call him, Tucker Carlson, and I have his personal email address, chose not to cover it. When that would have been the time to cover it, they intentionally waited 3 years, okay? Mm. And this is what people need to understand. The establishment has the obvious establishment, Jamie, but they have the not so obvious establishment. People who tell the truth when it's convenient, you say, not when it's relevant that it can be actionable on. And this is what we all need to waken up to. So in 2020, I'm a systems biologist and a scientist. I do a lot of research and medical research, published in all the major journals. I was the first one to call out Fauci. Booby effing Kennedy, as I say, stayed quiet. He waited a year. And he plagiarized my material and wrote the Fauci book. But booby fucking Kennedy, as I call him, was promoting lockdowns in 2020. You can read it. Jay Bhattacharya wrote a paper promoting lockdowns. They waited a year, you see? Because they saw people were figuring it out. So the CIA Mossad technique is when they see the masses getting radicalized, they control those movements. And this is a really, really very devious phenomenon that's done. Now with the internet and Twitter and social media, Palantir watches what we're saying, Jamie. They watch memes taking off and then they put their guys in to own those memes, you see? Not to do anything, but to just act like they're doing something. And that's what the entire Trump administration's about. And you can see the duplicity. Look, I've met with Trump. He thinks I'm the greatest guy. He says I was the smartest guy in the room. You know, all the stuff I did with election integrity, he used to raise $500 million. But he himself didn't really want to do anything about it. To him, he watches which way trends take place. He hijacks those trends and leverages it. So the work that I did on election integrity shows, yes, his election was stolen in 2020 because they needed Biden. But Hillary's election, when you do the analysis, is also stolen because they needed Trump. You see, people in the United States after 8 years of Obama were done with him. He was brought in as the black hope, you know, to manipulate poor whites and poor blacks. 57% of people voted for Trump, voted for Obama. And then what did Obama actually do? He delivered everything to the big banks, right? He bailed them all out. So then they found this other character, Trump. And Trump, they needed a white guy to manipulate the white working class. And that's what he did flawlessly. He's the one who commanded the pandemic, right? Hillary Clinton could never have pulled off the lockdowns. They needed Trump. Make America great again, right? And then they needed him out because they needed to start the Ukraine war with a senile individual. And then Trump's back in now to totally consolidate around Zionism. So if you look what happened and the duplicity that's going on, you have the New York Times and all their other media, even the liberal media is saying, and I saw your little ticker, right? Ooh, Trump. And so this is the three-part way they're doing the theatrics. They put out those.
So, Dr. Shiva, let's have a quick ad break and let's come back and talk about this, because it's very interesting, because a lot of people think some of these people controlled opposition, or maybe they have good intent, but they're controlled, you know, whether they like it or not, or some are just naive. Well, let's talk about these things, because these are critical. We'll be back just after the ad break. And welcome back, folks, to McIntyre Report. Follow our 24-hour news headlines, anr.news. I'm here with the inventor of email and presidential nominee for the last 2024 election, Dr. Shiva. It's very interesting the stuff that you talk about, and I like people that are outspoken, because I know it takes a lot of courage and it's a lot of risk, you know, business-wise and personal these days to be a critic of certain powers. A question a lot of people have, I mean, I was at CPAC this year in Washington in February, and it was my first trip there, as you know, representing Australian National Review. I was told just before I arrived, Jamie, you realize this is a Zionist conference? And I said, well, I'll keep an open mind and see how that turns out. And I think a lot of people out there were really, you know, supported Trump. I mean, we were supportive of Trump on many policies. But I was very disappointed. That was a real, you know, to accept that, you know, the Trump administration, you know, Zionist, his administration is full of Zionists, and that they're controlled. They're there massaging the message, make America great, and what they'll do is make America first, America first, America first. But this was the Zionists that was pushing that messaging, clearly, in my opinion, Dr. Shiva, to fool MAGA. Some of the J6s were booted out, you know, at that event. And when Trump did eventually speak at the last speaker on day, you know, the last day, there was a ruckus in the room where if he didn't recognize the J6s, it would have probably broke out into a riot there, and then MAGA would have split. So I could saw firsthand, and I interviewed these people, that there's a real, there's an element of a massive disappointment, because a lot of people supported Trump for a political revolution. They're sick of the globalist left faction and the woke nonsense. And most of us all agree we're very anti-woke, right? So where do we go to? We support the conservative side. But then to see the conservative side's been swarmed or swamped by the Zionists and the controllers there, and people aren't going to get the political revolution that they really supported, although they might get some of the policies that might make things better. But still, the right faction, Zionists, seem to be certainly in control. What's your take? I assume you're taking the Trump, and we know Trump is a Zionist. I don't think he has to be leveraged to be that. A lot of Americans, read the Scofield Bible and just believe, you know, this, you know, Israel created in 1948 is somehow biblical, even though it's 77 years ago, not 2,000 years ago. And the Rothschilds claim they're the chosen ones, and I find it hard to believe anyone would fall for that, because I'm pretty sure God wouldn't choose a bunch of banker wanker families and the Rothschilds to represent him. What's your view on all this? Zionism seems to come back into it. They surround the Trump organization. Yeah, does Trump have good intention and is limited, or Trump was always used or always a useful idiot?
Well, Jamie, you're asking a good question here. Look, first of all, just on a personal note, I gave you the issue with the caste system, right? I have a serious problem with political ideologies or philosophies that promote a small set of people should rule over the many. Okay.
Yeah.
The caste system was that. Zionism is that. You know, in 1986, when I was an undergrad at MIT, a guy called Meir Kahana, I don't know if you know this guy, a rabid Zionist, was invited to a local university called Brandeis. And this was right after Sabra and Shatila took place, where Ariel Sharon literally rode over the people in that region with tanks. Okay.
Wow, yeah.
So we had a massive protest I organized, and we chased him out of here. But I learned earlier on in my readings that Zionism is racism in the service of imperialism. It's a racist ideology that serves imperialism, advancement of, you know, monopoly capitalism. That's what it really serves. And Zionism has nothing to do with Judaism. Zionism is a political ideology that was created by an atheist in collaboration with evangelical Christians. In fact, you don't have to be Zionist. You don't have to be Christian to be, you don't have to be Zionist. You don't have to be Jewish to be Zionist, right? 70 million evangelical Christians in the United States are Zionists, and they literally report up to Israel, the evangelical pastors who lead them. And they've infiltrated pretty much most of the southern part of the United States. The other pieces, there are Muslim Zionists, okay? Like Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, any of these countries. There are Hindu Zionists, okay? Zionism is in some ways separated from religious. It's a political ideology. So I've been talking about this for a long time. When October 7th took place, I had to educate a lot of these social media influencers on what is Zionism. The unfortunate thing, and we'll get into this, many of those social media influencers, in my view, are actually working with Mossad. And let me tell you, Mossad's slogan, as you know what it is, right? Through deception, thou shalt do war. I don't know if you know what their slogan is.
War by deception.
Yeah, through deception, thou shalt do war, okay? So what you have now, if you look at it from an engineering control system standpoint, you have a goal, which is a goal of this is maximization of power, profit, control. That's their goal. In order to achieve that, they're watching which way the masses are moving. Social media lets you do targeted, individualized control and propaganda. Before, you had broadcast media, right? Everyone got the same message. Now you can do specific messages to target groups of people. And you're doing that because they're getting all this data. They know which memes you're taking off. For example, to me, you know, when I got back, it just came out of my mouth. Someone said, well, you know, what makes you different? I said, I'm the only presidential candidate who's not a Zionist cocksucker. Okay. And that just took off. Okay. And then every time, now the thing is, I have about 300,000 people on Twitter. When I started exposing the fact that Elon Musk is a Zionist cocksucker and he is the one who allows the backdoor portal to government to continue. He's not a free speech guy. I mean, it's so fucked up to think he's a free speech guy.
This is my question I had, Dr. Shiva. I was going to ask you about Elon Musk because I saw that. I mean, obviously, I mean, I know it to be true, obviously, the targeting, because in ever since the Jewish, you know, they claimed to kill the two Jewish embassy workers last week, it's not the only time, but the flooding on X of pro-Israeli propaganda is like just enormous. So it's popping up everywhere.
Well, yeah, well,
they're targeting people. But Elon Musk also with Twitter, and I think what Israel's position is, okay, so we can't, it's best that we allow some supposed free speech, but, you know, doesn't mean freedom of reach. They can have free speech, but no freedom of reach.
That's the ADL's position.
Yeah.
That's the Jewish ADL's position. That's Elon Musk's position. So remember, I was the guy who exposed the fact that government has this backdoor portal. Then they created this guy, Mike Benz, another CIA scumbag, to steal all my material and start acting as though he's fighting this stuff. This is what's going on, Jamie. People need to understand they're creating. Overnight, they create people hijack the truth, but never talk about the truth at the right time to have an effect. So in 2020, it was in my historic lawsuit, we exposed this whole thing in cross-examination. And the judge wanted to buy me out, try to have me drop the case against the government. I refused, and he came after me. So you can go to winbackfreedom.com, hear about the whole case. I reached out to Tucker Carlson, reached out to Glenn, and they did nothing, Greenwald, because they're part of the system, okay? They get paid to give the illusion they're covering stuff. Mm. The Intercept is part of that too. So they've created these characters, these people who literally intercept truth and sit on it. You see what I'm saying? It's a very, very nuanced thing what they do. So now, when I got put back on Twitter in December, the first tweet I put out, I said, Elon, why don't you make me your CEO? Hey, invented email, I got 4 degrees, I'm the perfect candidate. That went viral. I think it got 10 million views, okay? 1 million views per day. Next, I said, Elon, are you going to take away the backdoor portal that's still open to government? My views went from 10 million to 10,000 views, all right? And Clayton Morris of Redacted, if you go look, there's a video. He said, hey, Elon, Dr. Shiva has exposed in his lawsuit there's a backdoor portal. How does that comport with your claims for free speech? Silence from Elon acted stupid. Oh, I'll get back to you. He's the biggest scumbag on the planet, biggest Zionist scumbag. Elon Musk, SpaceX.
I saw that, you know, obviously Elon did start early days speaking out against ADL. Then it's like Netanyahu drags him to an Auschwitz tour and it's like reprogram the guy or basically say who's boss again. It seemed like, you know, he was like put back in position and, you know, you don't have as much power as you think. I mean, just that's one part of it. But who the hell does Netanyahu answer to, do you think? You know, who's his master?
Well, so if people have time, they should go to shatterthestorm.com. It's a video I did with a little marker in a very professorial type way for 15 minutes. It explains who actually controls the world. It's the control of the world is not in one particular location. It's decentralized. I call it the swarm. Okay, it's like a swarm of starlings flying, right? In twilight. In fact, they may have their own internal contradictions, but together, when push comes to shove, they may move in one direction, you see? So this is where people get confused. They'll see the Democrats and Republicans fighting, or they'll see some internal stuff with Trump and somebody else, but they're still all one. And because ultimately, their goal is to maximize power, profit, control. In order to do that, they need their lackeys. Elon Musk is one of their lackeys. SpaceX is funded by government grants, $6, $7 billion minimum, right? SpaceX would not exist. SpaceX is basically a NASA government enterprise, okay? That's what it really is. Twitter would not exist without Section 230 immunity. And then you get into Tesla. All of Tesla's profits are because of, you know, $1 to $2 billion in carbon credits. Again, the government aegis. So this guy's a government man. To say that he stands for free speech is completely ludicrous. But this is a level of sophisticated manipulation that's going on. Booby fucking Kennedy is not for medical freedom. He was promoting lockdowns. You go look at his entire history. He was saying lockdowns are good because they promote climate change. and so on. So the entire model, the entire Trump administration, and I've met with Trump. You know, I said 2 hours, he called me. And initially, I refused because he was supporting election fraud in Massachusetts. And then he asked me again. Then we had a 2-hour meeting. It's a very interesting meeting and the impressions I had. And then I met with him again. My point is that Trump is a consummate con man. He was put in position by Wilbur Ross, okay, in the late 90s. He went, I think, bankrupt for the third time. Wilbur Ross, who became a Secretary of Commerce, another Zionist, hoodlum, saw in Trump a consummate con man. Remember, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame, okay? He's in the Worldwide Wrestling Hall of Fame. Theater. He was put on a trajectory. Ari Emanuel, the big Zionist who owns Endeavor, right, who brought UFC, brought WWE, was his agent. He was also Obama's agent. He's also Joe Rogan's agent. And this guy controls Hollywood. Another Zionist, serious Zionist with Mossad connections, him and his brother, Rahm Emanuel, and the other brother. So you see, Trump was put on the trajectory to be president. It's like he was like a farm league. No one gets to be president unless they're ordained by Zionism. And 95% of Congress, or 98%, right, is Zionist. So the United States is occupied. And so Trump was brought in to execute the pandemic. Then now he's been brought in to totally consolidate power. The implosion of the Democrats by design. Who the fuck talks about men and women being the same sex? I mean, this was like crazy shit, right? They brought this stuff up to make people vomit on the Democrats so they'd all run to Trump. So now they have consolidated power. And whatever Trump does is designed to be pure theatrics. Pure theatrics. When I put out Shatter the Swarm, Trump will start saying Shatter the Deep State. I know these guys well. They know the stuff I did in 2020, 2021 pervaded MAGA. So they know what tenor I was sitting, but I could not be bought, Jamie. I'm not in any camp, you see? And this is what the problem is. If you tell the truth and you're not sucking Zionist cock on either side, you are uncontrollable. So you must be shadow banned, you see? That's a policy that they took. So they'll keep me on Twitter because I have lawsuits against them, but they'll control your reach, you see? And so this is why the future is offline. You know, as an activist, I can tell you our movement, Truth Freedom Health, people go to truthfreedomhealth.com. We're building a bottoms up movement because about 1 billion people saw my videos during 2020, 2021. It was during that window. And they said, holy shit, we can't get this guy. We can't have this guy out there. So the reality is we did get ourselves out there. We built, however, a bottoms up movement. It's the only way to win. A bottoms up movement by true working people, not the fake bullshit proletariats like AOC and Bernie Sanders and the left promote. I'm talking about actual working people who produce real value. And so they want to keep people from that. So if you saw the level of deception, think about the triumvirate way they did deception recently. Ooh, Netanyahu and Trump are on the outs. Come on, you have to be a moron to think that's happening. So New York Times puts that out. The same day, you know, they're blockading Gaza for 11 weeks, killing babies, literally. And then the same day, third part, Trump goes and hangs out with all the Zionist Muslims, the pigs of Saudi Arabia, the pigs of UAE, the pigs of Qatar, right? Who created Hamas, by the way, in alliance with Hamas has basically now become a brand. Hamas was created by Israel. It was funded by Israel. But now they brand everything as Hamas. There are probably true fighters on the ground in Palestine who they've also branded as Hamas. You see? So this is a level of deception, and Trump is totally fucking part of it. He's a deceiver maximus. You know, he does stuff over here with this hand, and over here the real shit's going on. And the reason people don't know what to do is Trump doing this by intention or not? It's like an abuse victim. Oh, did my husband beat me because he was upset with me? Or is he because, you know, something happened to him, drove him to be an alcoholic? You're always excusing these people. You see, this is the mind fuck. The reality is the following. Trump is the one who was there under the lockdowns. I ran the Fire Fauci campaign. Marlo Maples, an ex-wife, gave him my letter. Do not lock down the country. That's coming from an MIT fucking PhD. I gave him the protocol not to do lockdowns. He went and did it. All right? He, under his administration, 600 billionaire.
I would agree. So if you look at, say, Trump, you know, the two things that people that would otherwise support him or do support him don't like is the fact he endorsed the lockdowns and the vaccines initially. And then obviously that he supports Israel. I mean, if he didn't do those two things, well, then, you know, other policies we'd probably agree with. But the point is, obviously, he does those things because we know that certainly the right faction of, you know, the way I see the world, and this is just my assessment, it's interesting your view, is that we have the globalist left, the woke nutters on the radical left, the globalist elites. And I think generally the right faction Zionists, you know, maybe at the top they're controlled by both, but they certainly have opposing views and hate each other. But they're the two factions, and people, you know, with the whole Q movement, a lot of people still believe in Q. And I'm like, we suspected for a long time Q was probably a psyops. And it was only when I was at CPAC at Washington, I saw General Flynn there. And remember, one stage they thought he might even be in Q. And then I saw during that event he posts pro-Israel and we must stand with Israel.
He's a total scumbag.
Total fuckers, basically. I was already suspicious that the white hats is like, sounds too similar to the white army that in the Bolshevik Revolution, the Russians thought the white army was going to come save them, never happened, and they got slaughtered. And then, of course, the white hats just seen. That's why we were like, this is a little bit sus. But what the question people had about Q was, well, why would Q be releasing a lot of these truthful things that's, you know, exposing the globalists? And then we said to a lot of people, look, it's most likely what they're doing, it's the right faction Zionists are behind Q. It's a psyops. They're releasing all this info because they knew it was going to come out anyhow. They're throwing their competition, the left globalist faction, under the bus so the right faction Zionists can become the one world government instead of the left. So I see you got these two competing factions. Whether they're controlled at the top by the same, you know, I don't know that. But the only other faction that I see wants to not have a one world government appears to be the BRICS, predominantly led by Putin. Now, some people say Putin is controlled, but he seems to want a multipolar world, which is what we support here at Independent Media. And I think any decent human wants a multipolar world, national sovereignty, and do trade, take over the world like China wants to through trade, not through warfare. You know, Israel is all about, you know, warfare. And theft and genocide everywhere they go, as we know, and it's like, and then deception. So I see that there's three factions in the world. There's the left, globalist nutters, globalist elites, the World Economic Forum crowd, and then you got the right faction, and Netanyahu and, you know, Trump administration, and then you got the BRICS is the only one I think I would hope can make the world a better place. What's your views on that, and then how India fits into that as well? Because India is part of BRICS, but they seem to be somewhat neutral or able to walk that line between being pro-Israel and anti-Israel?
Yeah, look, I think there's really, I mean, there's a couple of dynamics here. You have, the way I look, you know, The Godfather, you have a bunch of mafia dons, right? So you have the United States was the main don, and they're getting some competition, right? From other dons, okay? Who want to split the world from their standpoint, it's good to have a multipolar world because they get to carve out their parts of it. So that's one dynamic. The other piece is, and then within each of those, right, that larger dynamic in any nation state, you have the left and the right, and the dynamic I said with the wings, okay? But my view is there's the real movement, which is people actually produce value. I have great respect, you know, because I still work for a living and I'm still a scientist. I'm still an engineer. I still run companies. I have great respect for people who actually make shit, Jamie, who actually produce real value. Okay. Mm-hmm. The mother, the father who work, try to put their kids through school, you know, nurse, plumbers, electricians. And the world still has a substantial number of those people. Those people's value, those people's currencies, whether it's United States or globally, is the one that ultimately gets devalued. And those are the people that suffer. So the real faction that I support of this broad mass of working people, whether they're in China, the United States, etc. But I'm not talking about the bullshit working people like the Labor Party or the left talk about, because when they talk about working people, they're using the prestige of quote unquote socialism, right? Or the unions, to really talk about the not working people, to get people dependent on government, right? The people who actually don't have a back problem, but take off disability, people who live off welfare. That's who they consider the working people. And they want to make more people lumpen proletariat. So the left wants to make people lumpen proletariat. And the right wants to call out the left for supporting quote unquote socialism, which they rightfully do because they're not really talking about the working people. And the people who are getting fucked in all of this is a guy who actually works for a living, who doesn't cheat the system, who tries to actually work an honest day's life. And this is occurring, whether it be in India, whether it's in Russia, whether you talk to people all over the world. So I think the bigger opportunity is the fact that the systems of governance, these systems of supply chains are all going to be consolidated more and more and more. And you have the fact that AI is going to be coming in, but there's still a substantial number of human labor still involved. So my view is that we need to raise consciousness about working people globally, that they have no interest in fighting any of these fucking wars, you see? And that is a raising of consciousness that needs to take place. And I think it's very easy on a nation state level to choose Trump over someone else, always a little bit better, on a global level to choose Putin over the imperialists. You see what I'm saying? But the ultimate solution is the bottoms up awakening of people, working people, who recognize that, you know, whether I'm in the United States or China, the working people of the world are not my enemies. And that is, in my view, what needs to happen. So our movement, you know, People Go to Truth, Freedom, Health, is a global movement. And you cannot have significant change occurring in any one country anymore. It has to be global. And my view is people have to raise their consciousness to understand this dynamics that we're talking about, that there's the obvious establishment, the not so obvious establishment. And that they have these wings. People need to understand the manipulation that's taking place so they smarten up. And I think that's where the change is going to come from, Jamie, when people raise their consciousness to understand how the deception takes place. And that's what I spend probably 99% of my time doing. It's really the education of that. And it has to start with enough people who get it, but you don't need everyone. It's like, how many Buddhas or Christ do you need, right? Or Malcolm X's. You need just enough of them who understand the dynamics and can articulate it. And so a movement cannot depend on one people either. So that's what my teachings, my learnings have come to. So the issue is, what is the solution? The solution is, do you want to build a bottoms-up movement? Do you want to build it?
Let's take a quick ad break and we'll come back and let's talk about solutions because people want to know about this. We'll just quick ad break. We'll be back in a second. And welcome back, folks, to the McIntyre Report. Great conversation we're having with the inventor of email, Dr. Shiva. Let's talk about these solutions because obviously there's a video I saw recently. It was a short one on Instagram. It said, the world was fucked up before we arrived here and it'll be probably fucked up still after we leave. Maybe we should just have a bigger family, have some animals in the backyard and enjoy nature and enjoy our life. It was quite interesting. But some of us, we might want to escape from saying too much for a while, but then we're back on Twitter. We're back into this trying to make the world a better place. So those who want to have that burning desire to want to make the world a better place, you know, what are some of the solutions you think, you know, you've talked about a little bit, but that we can do to try and fight back against, you know, we see the Zionism, you know, what Israel's doing to Gaza and the Middle East and what you really do by flooding the West as well with, you know, a massive amount of immigrants and divide and create civil tensions and all those sort of plans. I mean, can what's your view? One, can what's the solution? But two, even with Israel, will Israel fall? And can the world have peace and prosperity if these warmongers are defeated?
Well, Jamie, you know, my view is that education, the right education, is ultimately revolution. Education. You know, my great grandfather taught me that, and history teaches that. You know, one person who gets enlightened to how the world actually operates and is able to articulate that becomes a force for significant change. And we've seen people like that throughout history. Now, over the last 100 years, particularly about 100 years ago, the world moved into a world of systems, large-scale systems. So you have, for example, the healthcare system, transportation systems. When you use your iPhone, it's not like your phone. This is connected to a global system. The way your food comes, right? Amazon is part of a food system. So the concept of complex systems was a field that came about 100 years ago, starting in the 1920s. That led into a field called cybernetics. How do you control systems? How do you create robots? And that was really the reason institutions like MIT came to being. Systems science is an actual science that understands the laws of nature and how you apply it to engineer stuff. So thermostats in your home, right? Every great innovation, your phones, your computers, all of these come out of system science, okay? That science of systems is a very powerful science that can be used for anything. It can also be used to understand large scale social systems. So people like George Soros, people like Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, these guys took the knowledge of systems and they started using it to social control of systems. I used to teach system science at MIT for, you know, learning how to build engineering control systems. So I came to the conclusion that the knowledge of system science, which really teaches you critical thinking, must be taught to everyone. So if you're going to fight the swarm, as I call it, by the way, people should go to Shatter the Swarm if you want to know what I'm talking about, .com. But the swarm is this decentralized group of elites. Now, they understand system science. If you're going to go fight them and you have a stick and a bunch of stones and they have a nuclear weapon, there's no way to win. And the nuclear weapon here is the knowledge of system science. It allows you to really have critical thinking, and you recognize without the knowledge of critical thinking and particularly systems thinking, that that's how a small set of people, the 0.0001%, are controlling 8 billion. That's their secret message. So number one, when I created this movement, I took all that knowledge that I could have kept in the ivory tower of MIT, and we wanted to bring it to the masses. It's like bringing fire to the earth, Jamie, and that is the knowledge of system science. That's why I was able to call out Trump and Kennedy and all these people early on, because you see them as part of a disturbance in a system which is created by the system to manipulate people. And that's number one. That's the first solution. Now, what's happened is as our movement has grown, we recognize that over the last 30 years, besides the invention of email, I created many other things. One of the inventions I created out of my PhD work, Jamie, was the ability to use physical chemistry and computing science to actually model every disease on the computer, the mathematics of the chemical reactions of different diseases. And I've now done this for 35 diseases. It's been a long process. And many of those diseases I've published in the major journals. What we are now doing is that solution is independent of big pharma, independent of big corporations, independent of government. We're enabling people to look at, there's 10 to the power of 36, 10 with 36 zeros after it, compounds in nature. There's only 60,000 pharmaceutical compounds. So pharma has run out of compounds. That's why they need the mRNA platform. But there's 10 to the power of 36 compounds in nature. Using this technology, I'm able to find combinations of ingredients in nature that pretty much can cure every major disease. But the only way to get this out there is by the people for the people. Yep. So we've created an open science institute using this technology. It's bigger than email, Cytosol, and we're going after every major disease. I just recently published a paper on ALS in one of the big journals. And guess what? We didn't get funded at all. But I did the work in the last 3 years that hundreds of millions of dollars have gone into the other, you know, the normal way. So I figured out a way to do scientific research faster, cheaper, and better. And it's an enabling platform. So that's one solution. The second solution is food. You know, about 15 years ago, Whole Foods wanted me to figure out what was clean and raw food because that label was being used. No one knew what it was. So we created, again, a bottoms-up movement. We have an international standard. In fact, there's products in Manuka honey that comes from New Zealand, nearby where you are, where we've been able to trace how the food comes, whether it's non-GMO, organic, bioavailability. And this approach is by the people for the people. People are able to go to restaurants, local manufacturers, and understand the sourcing of food. And people can get a clean certification. No government owns it. And the third piece is the integration of Eastern medicine with engineering system science. So we're now creating an army of health educators who are not just saying, eat this, don't eat this. They're able to use this very powerful platform to help the individual understand what kind of body they are and where they're off course and how to bring the person back on course through food, supplements, exercise. But more importantly, you know, there's like a billion videos on health out there. It's not like people are getting healthier. One guy says eat spinach, the other guy says don't eat spinach. Yep. So with this integration that came out of my Fulbright work, I intersected, you know, this 10,000-year-old system from Chinese and Indian and indigenous medicine with engineering system science. So those are the solutions we're bringing out for people to enable people to take care of their own bodies, become their own doctors. So this very powerful framework, understand where food comes from. But most importantly, we are developing medicines by the people for the people. So there's indigenous tribes in where you are, right, who have solutions. This technology helps validate indigenous medicines. So these are, you know, innovations that we are delivering through our movement, but it's all by the people for the people. Our point is, let them do what they want. We're not saying go off grid. We're saying fully participate. Don't run away to some island. Don't go into the woods. Fully participate, challenge them. And the last piece of this is building a bottoms up movement to educate people why ultimately working people are the ones who should run the world, not people who are scumbags living off other people's labor. And that's what Zionism is ultimately about. Zionism actually promotes the fact that everyone else is a bunch of cattle and peasants to be used, and only they should not work and profit from that. It actually legitimizes that.
Yeah, which is true. As far as it's almost a sense of laziness of those that don't want to work but want to, you know, produce, they basically, as I say, fake Jews that print fake money and fund fake news media and fake politicians and promote fake pandemics and fake vaccines, you know, and then they control Facebook and keep control by, because people want to impress their fake friends, and that's why their significance or fame and fortune is the way, you know, it seems most of the world is controlled. But it's interesting you say that, because I spent a lot of time in Indonesia. And as Indonesia is obviously no country's perfect, but it has you know, even just it's a, the second, well, it's the largest Muslim nation on the planet, but it's also rated second on the world as far as happiness index. People are extremely happy, although they're termed a third world country, but becoming an economic powerhouse. But what I notice here is that there is a lot more power to the local level. I mean, there's no perfect democracy, but since they got rid of the Suharto regime, which I believe was, you know, Israeli controlled, they're back to be able to be more a nationalist type of government and a democracy. But there, the fact there is a lot of power to the people at local level, I see that as a positive, where the national governments, you know, they might have some limitations in introducing things that might be beneficial, but sometimes that limitations is good because they have to deal with people at a local level that have immense power, the bunges, the villages, etc. So I hear what you're saying with that, and I think that's what's been lost. Obviously, globalism is removing that power, sending the power all to the top, and then pretending to have grassroots initiatives like they did in Australia last year. They had the thing called The Voice, which was Israeli funded, pretending to be represent the indigenous Australians, and let's change the constitution and give them the voice, which is really was just a theft of more assets in the hands of, you know, The Voice was turned out to be funded by all the woke corporate globalist companies. So, it's very true. So I think that's a great idea. And obviously you're doing a lot of work there. What's the feedback been, et cetera? Obviously you're outspoken politically. What do people think about that? Is it like, well, maybe you shouldn't be so outspoken, care? You know?
Well, so Jamie, here's the thing, you know, as a student of science and engineering, I've studied political movements in a very similar way. And you get to a level of mastery, you understand. I mean, we've built a global movement now. So you have to be careful who you listen to. You know, you have a lot of young people who have no experience, or even older people have no, who've never built movements. They'll say, oh, you shouldn't curse, you shouldn't say this. My attitude is, you know, you've never built a movement. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So people have these illusions about you should be diplomatic, you should talk this way, that way. But they don't go down to the root level of how movements are built. They don't understand history. So you have to not ignore that. You have to have the wherewithal to understand you've put in the effort. If you understand calculus, are you going to allow a kindergarten to tell you how to add numbers together? No. And in politics, the same thing's occurred. There is a science to building a movement. There is a science to understanding the dynamics. And the establishment does not want people to understand this, you see? So they have all these social media influencers talking a bunch of shit, but none of them have spent the effort to understand what it takes to build a movement to change this. And there is a dynamic, there is strategy, there is a physics. And that's what I've done. So yes, I invented email. Yes, I invented these other things, but I would say my greatest invention will be Truth, Freedom, Health. The curriculum, the pedagogy, to educate people how to integrate system science to understand how they liberate themselves individually and collectively. There is a science to this. It is control system science. The elites use that for maximizing power, profit, control. We individually and collectively can use that same physics to maximize truth, freedom, health. Now, the problem is a lot of people have ego. They don't want to study because the swarm has also created a level of dilettante among people, right? Everyone's an expert at something. No, you're not. You got to fucking study this stuff, okay? So I don't really give a fuck what people say because I know the effect we've had. It was our movement in 2020. They saved a couple hundred million people's lives. We were the ones out there first saying take vitamin D3, quercetin, and zinc, right? We are the ones who taught people about the immune system. So when you know you go to the root of how natural laws work, how the universe works, and then you apply from an engineering standpoint, you're never going to lose because engineers can't bullshit. Scientists can bullshit, artists can bullshit, musicians can bullshit, but an engineer can't because he's got to build something. And if it doesn't work, it's going to fall out of the sky. You see? So in some ways, plumbers, electricians, vocational technical people, tradespeople have to live with nature's laws. And what we have created is that understanding. So the issue is we're not here to convince people. Our goal is to find people who are sincere, who want to learn, and then that's how you build a movement. The other people just want to talk about truth. Oh, I'm telling the truth, but then they smoke weed all day, you know? Or they do all sorts of stupid shit all day. No, seriously, you know, they think it's radical to do ayahuasca and smoke weed, right? That's being radical. Or talking about how fucked up the world is. And then you create a dystopian view and you create learned helplessness and everyone has an existential view of the world. But it doesn't inspire people into action. My view is that hardworking people are being fucked, who actually work. They need to mobilize. There's significant power there. And I think we're living in a huge opportunity right now because the left is completely imploded and you have consolidation. The wings on the right and the wings on the left are completely looking for real answers. And that's where our movement provides real answers because we go down to the ground level. You have to understand the dynamics of systems. Then you understand the dynamics of politics. Then it's so easy to see whether Sadhguru or fucking Tulsi Gabbard or fucking Booby fucking Kennedy or Fucker Carlson, they're all part of the not so obvious establishment. They're not liberating us. They're anointed. They wouldn't get this many views. They wouldn't be out there if they weren't anointed by the Zionist swarm. Come on. You just have to put two and two together. Tucker Carlson suddenly talking about 9/11 and looking all concerned. He's full of shit. He comes from a Mossad CIA family. It's all bullshit. It's all theater. Trump is pure theatrics. You have to really wonder if you see him on WWE raising his arms like this, doing that, and you see the picture with him getting shot. I mean, just put those pictures together. You got to ask which one is staged, right? I mean, this is massive, massive theatrics. It's Hollywood, propaganda, social media machine, all integrated to make sure people basically stop listening to this and go over here and build a bottoms-up movement. They don't want people to do that. So that's what we're doing. And the future, in my view, is offline. The future is not online anymore because it's highly, highly micro-targeted propaganda. Mm. So.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. Thanks for your time today, yeah. Dr. Shiva. A lot of people are looking solutions, and I'd have to agree with that. I'm obviously grassroots, and what people ultimately in life, it's that we can only focus on what we can control and continually let go of things that we don't
exactly. And you cannot control. You cannot. They own it end to end. So to lament on that, you can expose it, and you know some people come, but ultimately we have to go among people and build a movement. Thanks, Jamie. Good speaking with you. Great show. Best to you and your family and everyone there.
You take care. Thanks, Dr. Shiva. Talk to you soon. So there you have the inventor of email, presidential nominee, and a man that's speaking up, making a difference, taking action, providing solutions, which as many people are looking for. So it's great to have a chat. We'll be back with the next episode, the McIntyre Report, real soon. So much happening in the world rapidly. Can you believe it's almost halfway through 2025? As we did talk about there earlier in the show, the world was fucked up before we arrived on this planet and probably will continue to be after we leave. So what can we do to make the most of it? Doesn't say that we shouldn't focus on trying to make a difference. We certainly should, but we also make sure that we take care of ourselves and our loved ones and our family and make the most of that. Until next episode, folks, take care.
Welcome to Marina Bay, Lombok, the next iconic destination in Southeast Asia. A visionary beachfront city designed for the future, where untouched nature meets world-class development. Just a short flight from Bali, Lombok offers a fresh canvas for modern living and smart investment. With new infrastructure and Indonesia's first MotoGP circuit nearby, the time to act is now. Marina Bay is not just a resort. It's a fully master-planned beachfront city spanning across 25 hectares. Designed to international standards and inspired by global icons like Sentosa in Singapore and the Marina Bay Sands lifestyle. At the heart of Marina Bay lies our world-class marina built for lifestyle, leisure, and convenience. Dock your yacht, catch a sunset cruise, or arrive by sea to your own private jetty. Unlike Bali, Lombok remains clean, open, and poised for explosive growth. Government-backed tourism zones, high-rise zoning, and Western-style planning make Marina Bay a rare opportunity for first movers. From luxury condos to resort villas, retail spaces to investment lots, Marina Bay caters to holidaymakers, families, retirees, and investors alike. Whether you're seeking lifestyle, income, or capital growth, Marina Bay delivers. Designed for a balanced life, Marina Bay will host an international school, co-working hubs, cafes, restaurants, spas, and world-class wellness centers, all just steps from the beach. Earn passive income with fully managed villas and rental-ready apartments. Our investment options are backed by realistic forecasts and proven regional demand. Join our early investor program. Secure the best pricing, exclusive plots, and be part of something extraordinary from day one. This is not just a destination, it's a movement, a new city, a new way of life. Marina Bay, Lombok. Live, invest, thrive.